Church, it's so wonderful to see you all here this morning. I'm so grateful that we can gather freely without fear to worship our God today. I think we take that for granted way too often, that we have the freedom in this country to worship our Savior and Lord without fear. I am so thankful for that today. I'm so thankful to God that we can gather as His church, His body, to honor the beautiful name of Jesus. God has been so good to us in the past year. He has been faithful. We have had many great things take place as we've been gathering together to share our faith, to encourage one another, to love each other, to help one another, to serve our community, to serve one another, to help the poor, the needy, and most importantly, to spread the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. We have had the privilege of seeing people accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. We've had the privilege of seeing several baptisms this year. And I'm so grateful to God for each and every one of you today. We are all living stones that make up the body of Christ. And I am so thankful for every member, every person here today, and for those who couldn't make it. Every one of you who choose to be a part of the 1920 Church family. To allow me to have the honor of serving as your pastor, to minister to you. Thank you so much. It is so humbling. I'm amazed that Sunday after Sunday, that you endure listening to me preach. I'm amazed at that. I'm amazed that you give of yourselves, that you sacrifice of your finances, your time, your energy, to volunteer to help to move forward the work of the kingdom of heaven. I'm so grateful to my associate, Pastor Gimbo, that we can be co-laborers. Thank you, Gimbo. I'm so thankful to our elders and our board members, our ministry leaders, our ministry workers, everybody who comes here to do the smallest thing, whether it's putting toilet paper in the bathrooms or sweeping the floor or just praying with one another, whatever it is, thank you, thank you, thank you. It does not go unnoticed. God sees it, and the church needs it. So thank you. Thank you for blessing my family. Thank you for praying for my wife and I, my wife Lisa and our children. We feel those prayers. We have seen God answer prayers in our life. And we know that you are praying for us. So thank you. Thank you so much. And at the same time, I am so excited for the future. I am so excited for the future. And I was thinking about what to name the sermon this morning, and just came the way forward. The way forward. I'm so excited to see what the Holy Spirit will lead us into as we begin another season of ministry together. God is awesome. Jesus saves. God is faithful. His love endures forever. His mercies are new every morning. Do you taste the goodness of God? This week has been a heavy one. This week you may have been asking yourself many questions. Why? Because right now the world feels like it's unstable, it's changing. Many of our securities that we've enjoyed for so many years are being stripped away in our society. We went from having a shooting at a Catholic school during Mass where children were praying and they were shot. And the gunman shot himself afterwards. to another shooting in Denver, Colorado, where two students were killed and the gunman taking his own life. And then, of course, this high-profile assassination of Charlie Kirk this past week. A fellow Christian was murdered, which has sent shockwaves not only through the U.S. but around the world. You see, the world is changing. It's becoming a scary place, you can say. And this week it seems to have turned a new page, where someone who is publicly declaring the gospel and sharing their opinions, they are shot dead with cold blood in front of thousands. And we find ourselves asking, what now? What's next? Where are we going? What is the way forward? What should we do now when the places we thought to be safe are no longer guaranteed to be safe? Where a person in the West can be attacked or even killed for expressing their beliefs? What now? What is the way forward? As I was praying and seeking the Lord's word for this Sunday, and to this answer to this question, I heard the Holy Spirit, speak the words of Jesus found in John 14:6. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to John 14:6. Very well-known verse. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Church, friends, Jesus is the way forward. Jesus is the way forward. He's always been the way, and he will always continue to be the way forward. There is always hope in Jesus. Jesus spoke these words to his disciples in a time of trouble, in a time that his disciples were worried, even scared, because Jesus was telling them that he is going away to a place where they cannot follow him. That he was going somewhere they could not go at this time, but later they will go there as well. He was saying that he's going to his Father's place to prepare a place for them, his Father's house, and that one day they will be there with him. And the disciples want to know where that way is. And Jesus says, "He is the way. He is the way." This is wonderful and joyous news, and the hope in our lives. That no matter what situation you find yourself in life, no matter how dark it feels and how hopeless it is, how lost you are in this world, there is a way. There is a way that cannot be shut. There is a way that cannot be barred from you. And that way is Jesus. He is the way to eternal life. He is the way to home in our Father's house. He is a way through this life into the next life. Listen to what Jesus says in John 10, verse 9. He says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." The most important thing you can do in life is to accept Jesus Christ, because he is King, he is Lord. And he's not just King, he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. We are sinners, and one day we will all die, every single one of us. And we will face the great white throne of judgment. Because all of us has transgressed God's law. We've broken his commandment. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And because of our sinful nature, we need a Savior. None of us can earn our way to heaven. As Charlie Kirk says, our moral scorecard will not be a ticket to get in. It's only by being washed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, that he shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sin. That is the only way to eternal life. There is no other way. That is the only way our names can be written in the book of life. In this broken world where there are so many people who are plagued with depression, suicide, self-harm, anxiety, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. There is forgiveness and healing in Jesus and no other. Do you believe that? So, church, as we walk forward in this next season, we follow the way, Jesus Christ. That means we do not compromise the truth. Because if we do, we are no longer following Jesus, because he is the truth. He is the embodiment of truth. His words are truth. His commands are truth. His life is example of truth. In him, truth is found. He is truth. If we lose that, we abandon the truth, and we no longer have Jesus, and we're no longer on the way to eternal life. Our society is politically polarized right now like we've never experienced before. And the events on Wednesday when Charlie was shot, was murdered, it's causing people to take sides more and more. Are you on the right or are you on the left? And each side is saying, we have the truth, we have the right way forward to better our society. But church, this is not about the right or the left. This is about what is right and what is wrong. It's about good and evil. So as Christians, we need to remember that it's not about politics. It's not about politics. Our agenda is not political. Our agenda is God's people, the church, is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. The gospel changes the human heart. It's about the true way, guys. The only way, Jesus Christ. It's about which is good, and there's only one thing good, and that is God. There is no middle ground. And people are beginning to wake up. There is a spiritual awakening happening in North America. And the events of this week are only accelerating this. The amount of declarations of Jesus as Lord, as King, and people turning to him this week is nothing short of amazing. It's a miracle. I saw a video yesterday where 45,000 people were packed into the Angel Stadium in California worshiping the living God. So many people came to the altar to receive Christ that the fire marshal had to stop people. This is in California, guys. People are turning to Jesus because they are tired of the darkness and the lies in this world. And in the darkness, the light shines the brightest. It's nothing short of amazing. But we know the enemy is not going down without a fight. Satan knows his time is short. As the next verse declares in John 10, verse 10, it says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Meaning Satan is here to steal and kill and to destroy, nothing else. So we're in a battle, a spiritual battle. We know the outcome. We know that Jesus is victorious. The war is won. Satan already stands condemned and defeated, but he is trying to take as many of God's created people with him. So we must stand up for the way and the truth and the life, so people can come to Jesus before it's too late, before they die, or before Jesus returns, because then the opportunity is too late. Will it be difficult at times? Yes. Will you struggle with hardships? Yes. Will we do so as a church together? Yes. But Jesus says, and like Jesus says in 16:33 in John, it's 16:33, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So in those difficult times, we can have peace in Jesus, knowing that he has overcome the troubles in the world. In closing, I want to talk about something awesome, something important. We will have times in life where we feel beaten down, where we feel tired, exhausted, alone, where we feel afraid. Even Jesus had these times when he lived here on this earth. Even though he is the divine God, he was also in the flesh, meaning he was fully man and fully God. He felt pain, sorrow, and even fear. And Jesus, on the night before he was trialed, went to his trial and crucifixion, he was in the garden, and Jesus began to pray. Luke 22 tells us Jesus was in agony. He was in agony that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. And Jesus was asking God the Father if the cup he was about to drink, meaning his suffering death, could be taken away from him. And he was in such turmoil and agony. And what did the Father do? He sent an angel from heaven to strengthen him. Even Jesus, the Son of God, needed strengthening in his weakest moments. Friends, if Jesus went through this, we will go through this as well in life, where we need strengthening in our weakest moments. And like Jesus, God sends us someone to strengthen us. John 14, verses 15 and 17, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. If you love Jesus, it means you keep his commandments, meaning his word, his truth. And he has promised to send you a helper, the Holy Spirit. It is a Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Why? Because the world neither sees him nor knows him. But only those who know Jesus as their Lord and Savior know him, and he dwells with them, in them. And there are times when the Holy Spirit will come upon you in power. There will be times when the Holy Spirit will come upon you in power. Did you hear me? To fill you up to the brim in order to strengthen you, to equip you. It's called being filled by the Spirit. Some call it being baptized in the Spirit. It's something we need at times throughout our spiritual walk. Why? Because it strengthens us. It boldens us. It gives us boldness. Lets us know without a doubt that God is with us. Church, we need to be asking God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Is that part of your prayer life? Do you seek and desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because now is the time for boldness, to move forward together in unity of Christ, Spirit-filled, hand in hand as believers, as brothers and sisters, to set aside our differences, our petty squabbling. I've seen that enough between believers this week. Now is not the time for us to have wedges driven between us as brothers and sisters of Christ. Now is the time to love your brother and your sister. During the Last Supper, Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment. That's found in John 13, 34, 35. It says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So if you have anything against a brother or sister this morning, you need to repent, you need to seek forgiveness and reconciliation. If we lose our love for one another, we're not walking in the commandments of Jesus Christ, which means we're not walking in the way of Jesus. So love one another. Love one another. Let's take a stand against the enemy and the evil in this world, and to keep walking the way of Christ in truth so that others can come to the light and receive abundant life. I want to remind you that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, meaning other people. People are not the enemy. They're all created in the image of God. They are precious to Him. So our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We don't do battle with weapons of this world, such as fists or knives or firearms. We do battle with faith, with the Word of God, with righteousness, the gospel, with truth, and with prayer. And it all has to come from a place of love, from a heart filled with love for your neighbor, with a heart filled with love for God. Father, may your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's keep praying that. I just feel the Spirit prompting me to say that if there's hidden sin in your world, in your life, that you haven't dealt with, that you think no one's going to find out about, you need to repent and ask for forgiveness today. God sees that sin. And sin dulls our relationship with Him. It dulls our sensitivity to the Spirit, our connection to the Spirit in our lives. Sin is what separates us from God. If there's hidden sin in your life, you need to deal with it. You need to confess it and ask for forgiveness. So I want to ask us to bow our heads right now. Let's just open our hearts to God, to the Holy Spirit, and pray together. Father, we're humbled by your presence. We're humbled of how amazing and powerful you are. And Lord, what a fearful thing it is to fall into the hands of the living God. How scary it is to fall into your hands if we have undealt sin in our lives. So Lord, we come before you. You see everything in our lives. There's nothing we cannot hide. And Lord, we confess our sins to you. Lord, the hidden sin in my life, it's not hidden. You see it. So, Father, I'm sorry for my sins. And I repent of them. And thank you, Jesus, that you carried my sins to the cross. All of our sins. Where you suffered and died for those sins. And that they are nailed to the cross. And your shed blood cleanses us from all sins. So thank you, Jesus, for the price you paid for all of us. And Lord, we thank you that you are our Savior, our Lord, our King. And we just crown you with many crowns. Sit on the throne of our hearts. Lord, we give you everything to follow you. And help us, Father, help us, Holy Spirit, to follow the way, which is Jesus, to uphold the truth, which is Jesus, and to receive the life that is in Jesus. You are the only way. And Father, we pray for our neighbors around this church, in this city of Vancouver, in our nation of Canada, that you would have mercy, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit, that would bring conviction of everyone's sin, that they would turn to you, Jesus, that they would say enough is enough of this darkness, this evil, and that they would just seek for you, Jesus, and find you and make you their King. Lord, we just pray for a spiritual revival in Canada. We thank you for what you are doing, what we are witnessing happening in North America, stadiums being filled with people professing Christ, receiving the Spirit, a new life, a transformation, a new life, new creations in you, Jesus. And we just pray that we would see that overflowing into community after community, city after city, people coming to you. Jesus, use us as your body, your church, in this place where you have put us. And Lord, give us boldness. We seek for boldness in the Holy Spirit. Fill us, Holy Spirit, baptize us. Lord, we desire to see the giftings of the operation of the Holy Spirit's giftings among us. Teach us. And Lord, we just keep praying that you would add to this body of believers, that you would add to all the churches in this wonderful city of people repenting, coming to you and being baptized into your kingdom. Give us a spirit of boldness, so that we can shed the spirit of fear. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Thank you for every person here this morning. And I bless everybody here in the name of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I think we're going to close off with a song of worship. And I just want to invite if there's anybody who would like just to come to the altar to pray, to worship, to receive prayer, you're welcome to. The altar's open. If you would like prayer, we also have members of our prayer team at the back of the sanctuary who are ready to pray with you. And let's just worship together before we enjoy some refreshments in the side fellowship hall together.